Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. We're on June 19, 2025, or it is the 25th day of Sivan, 2029. We will continue with our timely greeting. Two timely greetings, number 15. That's entitled, That Which Is To Be During the Sixth Trumpet, While Prohibition Still Lasts. Okay, our study is, this is that which is to be during the sixth trumpet. Okay, that's the title of our sermon today. While prohibition still lasts, Satan's triple defeat will be our next sermon if we get to it. Brings a time of trouble such as never was. Okay, it says, text for prayer is taken from Christ's Object Lesson by Ellen G. White. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. For the gospel seed often falls among the thorns and noxious weeds. If there is not a moral transformation in the human heart, if the old habits and practices and the former life of the sin are not left behind, if the attributes of the Satan are not expelled from the soul, the wheat crop will be choked. The thorns will come to be the crop and will kill out the wheat. If the heart is not kept under the control of the Yahweh, if the Holy Spirit does not work unceasingly for the refining and for the ennobling of the character, the old habits will reveal themselves in the life. Yahshua's specified the things that are dangerous to the soul, as recorded by Mark, the mentions of the terrors of this world, the deceitfulness of the riches, and the lust of other things. Luke specifies the terrors, riches, and pleasures of this life. These are what choke the word, the growing spiritual seed. The soul ceases to draw nourishment from the Yahshua, and spirituality cries out of the heart. For this reading commands us to pray that the seed sown in our hearts may fall in the good soil, that it may take root, that we be free from the terrors of this life. Okay. Of this life and from sin. For no matter how impressive the truth that goes into one's ears, it will never reach the heart if there is any cherished sin therein. End of our prayer thought. Most appropriate reading for this time. That which is to be during the sixth trumpet, while probation still lasts. Pity Hollow, November 15, 1947, Waco, Texas. Where the subject of our study is found in the Revelation chapter 10 and 11. We shall begin with Revelation 10, 1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from the heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was, as it were, of the sun, and his feet as the pillars of the fire. This angel has all the characteristics of a power that sends down the latter rain, and that causes the spiritual rain fully to develop. For that is what cloud, sunshine, and rainbow indicate. As the rainbow never appears without the rain, for the angel is therefore as the angel that brings the rain, and as the sunshine for the development of the final harvest. Revelation 10:2. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. There is but one book in the Bible that has had to be opened, and that is the book of the Daniel 12:4. And since the first thing which the angel did was to open the book, the analysis proves that he actually appears on the scene at the commencement of the time of the end, which would be at the beginning of the 12th parabolic hour that started in 2002 at Kermit, Texas at the Passover. The time that the little book was to be opened, Revelation 10:2. So that little book was opened then, and Revelation 10:2 is opened back in 2002. Not to say that it wasn't opened before to start the judgment of the dead, but this little book, according to this, would have to be opened twice, once for the dead and once for the living. You know that man naturally starts out with his right foot. Now, since the angel's right foot was up on the sea and his left foot up on the land, the symbolism shows that he starts out on the sea, the province of the Daniel 7. Then on the earth, the province of the two-horned beast. Revelation 13:10-18. His work, therefore, starts in the old country and should include the very first truth that was disclosed from the book of the Daniel all arrested, and power proved to be worldwide, land and sea. Revelation 10:3-4. And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, the seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from the heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Here we see that there was another truth which could have been recorded, but John was told not to write it. We do not know how extensive a truth the seven thunders contain, but possibly as much as or more than the seven trumpets. Regardless, however, one thing stands out boldly, and that is that the omission of the seven thunders leaves a gap in the chain of the truth. And since the seven thunders are not recorded, the truth of them cannot be revealed by the interpretation, for there is nothing written of them, and therefore nothing to interpret from. If then we are ever to know the truth of the seven thunders, it is to be shown unto us perhaps by the same means as the revelation was shown unto John. Revelation 10:5-7. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand unto heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of the Yahweh should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. At the beginning of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the mystery of the Yahweh is to be finished. What about the statement, there shall be time no longer? ? Well, the answer is found in Revelation 10:6, which in the actuality proves that there shall be time no longer for the mystery of the Yahweh to be finished. That the remaining days of the sixth trumpet, the time for the sounding of the seventh trumpet, is with the time for the mystery of the Yahweh, with the gospel of the Yahshua, which is the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way, to be finished. In fact, the very first announcement of the seventh angel is that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Savior. Thus the gospel work is finished. Revelation 10:8-10. And the voice which I heard from the heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as the honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as the honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. For the eating of the book is, as it were, for the swallowing of the contents is sins. For the honey is sweet, must be the joy that comes from his promises, and obviously the bitter denotes inability to digest, to comprehend all, and thus a disappointment. These, you know, met the fulfillment in the days of the First Advent movement, when through the study of the book of Daniel, they learned that the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, was to begin in the year of 1844, but who misunderstood the cleansing to mean the end of the world and the return of Yahshua, for the disappointment came after the set date had passed and after the expectation of the people failed to materialize. Revelation 10:11. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. After the disappointment, they were commanded to prophesy again, that is again to proclaim the cleansing of the sanctuary. This work they were to do among many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings, obviously not unto all. Thus it was that the First Advent movement was reorganized from the Millerites, 1833-1844, and renamed the Seventh-day Adventists, with Ellen G. White as a voice of inspiration to the church. For the Seventh-day Adventist organization therefore will not finish the work, for its message does not go unto all people, unto all nations, tongues, and kings. Consequently, the church, too, is to be reorganized if the gospel of the kingdom, that's the teaching of the Father of Salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, is to be preached unto all nations. For a revival and a reformation must take place under or with the ministration of the Holy Spirit. For the revival and reformation are two different things. Revival signifies a renewal of the spiritual life, a quickening of the powers of the mind and the heart, a resurrection from the spiritual dead. For the Reformation signifies a reorganization, a change in the ideas and theories, habits, and practices. That's in Christ Our Righteousness by the Ellen G. White, page 121. Now, how will the reorganization come about? For behold, the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will come with the fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind for the rending of his anger with the fury and his rebuke with the flames of the fire. For by the fire and by his sword will Yahshua plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yahshua shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden, behind one tree in the midst, eating the swine's flesh, and the with the abomination, and with the abomination, with the mouth, shall be consumed together, saith Yahshua. We can do better on that paragraph. I'm going to reread that. For they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, meaning whatever churches they belong to, behind the one tree, that is one minister, in the midst, standing in the pulpit, preaching false doctrine every week, by eating, spiritually speaking, swine's flesh, with the abomination, and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Yahshua. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish, Pearl, and Lud, that draw the bow, unto the Tubal, and Avan, unto the Isle of the Far Off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all of your brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua, out of all nations upon the horses, and in the chariots, and in litters, and upon the mules, and upon the swift beast, unto my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith Yahshua. As the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel unto the house of the Yahshua, Isaiah 66:15, 17, 19, and 20. In these verses, we see a slaughter taking place, which takes away the transgressors of the truth. Those that escape of the slaughter of the Yahweh, the Father, are sent unto the nation who have not seen Yahweh's glory, the Father, are heard of his fame, and they are to bring all their brethren out of all the nation. Plainly then, with the slaughter is being in the church, for those who escape are sent for the preaching unto the Gentiles that know nothing of the Yahweh, sending the faithful unto the nation after the slaying of the unfaithful presupposes a reorganization, and the commission at last is to go and not to many nations only, but unto all the nations. For if they are to bring all of their brethren out of all the nations, And then it must be the last, as the ones for the finishing of the work with the mystery of the Yahweh to bring a probation unto a close and the world unto an end. Revelation 11:1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar, and them that worship therein. For the measuring of the worshippers is in the reality the same as the numbering of them. And so you see that the following of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, there is to be a numbering of its people. And as there is but one numbered company in the Adventist Church, projected by prophecy, is with the 144,000, Revelation 7:3. For the first fruit, Revelation 14:4, with the servants of the Yahweh, 7:3, it follows that they are the ones who are numbered that escape, and also that are sent unto the nation. Yes, they are as the ones who finish the mystery of the Yahweh, as they bring all of their brethren out of all nations. Revelation 7:9. The second fruits. Revelation 11:2. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under the foot 42 months. For the worshippers, as the members of the church, with the tribes of the Israel, are to be numbered, but those who are to fill up the court, those of the Gentiles, are unnumbered. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and the kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. Revelation 7:9. 7 times 7, 49, determined the year of the Jubilee for the liberation of the people and of the land, with the type of the kingdom complete, besides any other significance, the 42 months being only 6/7, it signifies that the holy city, Jerusalem, will not be trodden down all the way up until the time of the antitypical Jubilee. The Gentiles are to be driven out of it before the mystery of Yahweh is finished, before the seventh angel begins to sound. Revelation 11:3-4. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,000, and 260 days clothed in the sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, of the earth. When the prophet Zechariah asked what the olive trees of his vision symbolized, the angel answered, "The word of the Yahweh," Zechariah 4:6. The two olive trees, then, are figurative of the Old and the New Testament. The Bible, the great controversy, Sister White, 267. As for the symbolization of the candlesticks, the Yeshua himself points out that they are figurative of the churches, Revelation 1:20. For the two candlesticks and the connection with the olive tree are therefore figurative of the Old and the New Testament churches, for the churches which gave us the Bible, Revelation 11:5. And if any man will hurt them, far proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. From this we see that though the Bible is the best friend to its friend, it is a terrible enemy to its enemy. When the truth cannot save, it kills. Revelation 11:6-11. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Savior was crucified. Where our Savior Yeshua was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one unto another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth, and after 3 days and a half the spirit of the life from the Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and a great fear fell upon them which saw them. And we'll find a detailed explanation of them in the tract number 2, the warning paradox, page 47 and 48. Revelation 11:12-13. And they heard a great voice from the heavens saying unto them, "Come up hither." And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of the men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory unto the Yahweh of the heaven. For the Bible points out that but one bottomless pit was opened, the pit out of which the locust came, Revelation 9:2. and it was the heavenly star that opened the pit to let out its captives of the locusts, who were to hurt only those men who have not the seal of the Yahweh on their foreheads. Since the locusts were capable of the knowing, and who had, and also who had not the seal of Yahweh in their foreheads, and since they were friends unto the Yahweh's sealed people, the truth is obvious that the star that liberated them from the pit is the Son of Yahweh, Yahshua. And the locusts are the apostolics, Yahshua's first chosen, before the cross. For the people that was rescued from the apostate Judaism, moreover, the fact that the angel of the Revelation 20 verse 1, Satan's great enemy, is the one who has the key of the bottomless pit, for it follows that the angel of the Revelation 20 verse 1 and the star of the Revelation 9 1 are the same. For the one unto whom the key was given is the only one that could have it. Now, we may ask, who is the beast of the bottomless pit? If the star that came from the heaven and opened the pit is the Yahshua, and if the locusts that came out of the pit are the apostolics, then there is no way of escaping of the conclusion that the beast which came out of the bottomless pit is symbolical of the apostolic believers. Thus it is that the Yeshua was crucified there. Now that the city is spiritually called Egypt, it denotes that it is holding Yahweh's people in slavery. For the name Sodom denotes that Yahweh's true people will have to be rescued from it, as was the Lot. The tenth part of the city must represent the Yahshua's part, the tithes, so to speak. For the earthquake, therefore, represents a shaking and the church of the Yahweh. For the remnant who give glory unto Yahweh can only be the faithful who survive the shaking. Thus is the church purified. This earthquake then is symbolical of the slaughter of the Ezekiel 9 and coincides with the Isaiah 66:16. Moreover, the fact that the mystery of Yahweh is finished when the seventh angel begins to sound, and also the fact that the shaking is here shown to take place during the sounding of the sixth angel, for the truth stands out that the shaking takes place before the plan of salvation. Faith in the blood of the everlasting Yahshua covenant work is finished. That's in Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20. The spirit of the prophecy in our day also foresaw the shaking. I asked the meaning of the shaking. I had seen and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness unto the letter of sin, the Seventh-day Adventist. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver, and will lead him for the exalting of the standard and pouring forth of the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony, for they will rise up against it, and this is what will cause a shaking among Yahweh's people. Early writing, 270. Revelation 11, 14 and 19. For the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voices in the heaven, saying, for the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Yahshua, of our Yahweh the Father, and of his Son Yahshua, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before the Yahweh on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped the Father Yahweh, saying, we give thee thanks, O Yahweh Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken unto thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give a reward unto thy servants the prophets, and unto the saints, and them that fear the name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of Yahweh was opened in the heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of the testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. If you wish to study the 11th chapter of Revelation in all of its details, read the tract to the seven churches. This individual tract, number 15, is included in Volume 1 study book. This brings the end of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.